morning, everybody. Call to order the ADA board meeting for January 14th. Lynn, would you call the board members, please?
Mr. Wilkin.
Here.
Ms. Nygaard.
Here.
Mr. Hughes.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Bittner.
Here.
Mr. Dick.
Here.
Mr. Bruce.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Chris. Would you now do a roll call for the staff and the public?
Okay. We will start with who's in the room, and since there's a lot of people, I'm going to point to you. Please identify your name and what organization you are with, and we will start with you at the table.
Bill Shorty.
Ted Leonard.
Please join the conference.
Over there in the corner.
Karsten Rodvik, ADA.
Back row.
Mark Dalton with HDR.
Jerry Gide, Department of Law.
Miranda Studstill, architect.
Gene Terrio, AEA.
Kurt Warren, AEA.
Alan Bailey, Petroleum News.
Jay Page, First National Bank, Alaska.
Alex J. Marbon, Alaska Dispatch.
Back row here.
Sherry Peterson, ADA. Jennifer Levine, ADA.
Mark Shimshar, Public.
Bruce Webb, Ferry Operating, Alaska.
Mark Slaughter, Cook Inlet Energy.
Matt Harris, ADA.
Tom Erickson, ADA.
Elwood Bramer, Alaska General Commerce.
Phil Palin, ADA.
Michael Lamb, ADA.
Ron Yarnell.
Tim Gallagher, HDR.
Has joined the conference.
Dan Britton, Fairbanks Natural Gas.
Chris Anderson, ADA.
And the gentleman who just walked in the door.
John Springsteen, ADA.
Okay, now we're going to try to do those on the phone, one at a time. Please name yourself and your organization.
Join the conference.
Public on the phone, please.
Yeah, Ron Yarnell.
Fairbanks.
Representative Doug.
Representative who?
Doug Dyson.
Okay. Has joined the conference.
Other people on the phone?
Yes, it's for. Ina Samolatna.
Ron Yarnell, Fairbanks.
Bill Yordi, Northern Alaska Environmental Center.
Gary Hinchett, Mayor Bettles.
Any other public on the phone?
Dan Bross, KUAC Radio.
Looks like that's all.
Thank you, Chair. Item number four on our agenda is agenda approval. I'd like to make a couple changes and then intend a motion to approve the agenda. First is item number C, delete the Cordova Gap project update. Is that correct, Ted?
Yes, Chair.
And then under item number F, I would like to add under the executive session the Interior Energy Project.
Move to approve.
Second. Any objections? Agenda is approved. Thank you. Public comments are next. I ask everybody for 3 minutes, and please state your full name and the organization or group for who you're with. And is there anybody online that wishes to make a public comment?
Yes, Ron Yarnell does.
Ron, go ahead.
Sally Custer, Native Village of Seminac.
Has joined the conference.
Ron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, my comments are directed about the Amber Road. My name's Ron Yarnell. My company is all about adventure. I have owned and operated a wilderness guiding business in the Brooks Range since the early 1970s. I've guided hundreds of people down most of the rivers that the proposed Amber Road will cross. I own a cabin at Bettles, and I own a cabin at Wild Lake. I attended the ADA Amber Road meeting held in Fairbanks December 16th and 17th. It became abundantly clear early on in these meetings there is Jim Hemsap.
Has joined the conference.
About the effects of this road and these mine proposals. The villages of Allicacket, Alatna, Bettles, Evansville, and Colebrook have all passed resolutions against this road. PCC has passed a resolution against the road. You don't even have permission to pass through the 70,000 acres of Evansville Incorporated private land. Evansville and Company has passed a resolution against this road. You're not listening to the people who speak at these public hearings. I was at the fall 2013 Bettles, Evansville meeting. Out of the 20-plus people at this meeting, there were only two people that spoke out in favor of the road, and all others spoke out against the road. Your meeting comes.
Tony Slayton Barker, Kaufman Engineers.
Has joined the conference.
In your recent four-page summary to Governor Walker, you implied the state must continue to spend more money on this highly controversial road that does not have sufficient public support, does not have a legal right-of-way, and has far too many concerns to proceed ahead. After looking over the expenses of this road, I can understand why you want to continue this process. Of the $7.8 million spent to date, Dow alone received $5.7 million, according to your summary figures. Of the $1.6 million non-discretionary encumbered funds, Dow will receive $500,000. Of the $4 million discretionary unencumbered funds, Dow will receive $3 million. Of course, you're going to request the governor to continue to spend this money. It helps justify your salaries and it helps Dow, even if the road never gets built. Alaska could no longer continue to spend money like this. If we're doing it all over the state, and maybe in good economic times we have a lot of money, it's fine to waste money like this, but we're beyond that point. I request that you rescind your resolution approving the submission of the Rao application to the Department of Interior. This is the wrong road at the wrong time. Thanks for this opportunity to comment. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Ron. Are there any questions from the board? Hearing none, appreciate it, Ron. Is there anybody else online like to
testify?
This is Jill
York.
Hearing
Andrew
Bettles.
Okay, we had two. Who was first up, lady?
Jill.
Actually, let Gary go first.
Okay, we'll let Gary go first. Please state your name again, sir.
Gary Hanchett, Mayor of Bettles. First, I must thank all those people in ADEA, Dowell, HKM, Nova Copper, Nana, and others, who in their meetings I met and befriended some really nice.
Has joined the conference.
Excuse me? Apparently somebody joined.
Yeah.
There has been a rumor around that Bettles had two resolutions against the Ambler Mining District Road. Well, when the first one was learned by the people in Bettles, we eliminated the mayor and the council by substituting other people in their positions, and not long afterwards, we had another resolution opposing the road. Just wanted to set that straight for the public record, as I did with the district attorney's office in a letter some time ago. The recent revelations long closeted are and have been the property of the people, and I'm referring to the findings that just came out. When we pay for a newspaper and it fails to come, we get irritated. When that newspaper never appears...
has joined the conference.
Yeah, we can fix that after.
Paper. It is our lives, others' lives, yours. It's our home, identity, and hope. We have spent millions on the Ambler Mining District Road project. We want to examine our purchase and disseminate the findings of these studies. Along with the studies themselves, our questions, our conclusions. The methods used to make the conclusions must pass muster of their rightful owners, not closeted, hidden from the inconvenient public. One finds questionable the exaggerated inflations of personnel employed, real product instead of the ore extracted, private investments and involvements. The portrayal of the features and benefits have been entertaining, much like the history of door-to-door sales of vacuum cleaners and hearing aids. Humorous, were it not for the magnitude of the undertaking. The trivializing of Alaska's interior's peoples creates an overabundance of illegitimacy, the Deathgate. Upon leaving meetings, many felt they're being bullied by money and numbers used by arrogant know-it-alls. In one meeting, even our questions weren't ours. Adia posed their interpretation of possible questions, but still provided few answers. We Alaskans must stop this repetitious pattern of exploitation, opaque and our translucence in government, and conversion of our lives. I'm asking that the EIS not be submitted, that the Ambler Mining District Road project be halted, and that all materials remaining, including funds and findings, be made the public's property from which it was divined. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Are there any questions from board members? Hearing seeing none. Who's up next on online? Anybody on the online?
Jill.
Jordy with the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. Good morning. I'm the Clean Water and Mining Program Director here at the Northern Alaska Environmental Center in Fairbanks. And I first want to say thank you for the opportunity and for making the opportunity for public comment a regular part of your board meetings. Today I'm calling to make a request. I ask you all to seriously consider rescinding the resolution you made that gives approval to file a right-of-way application for the proposed Ambler Mining District Industrial Access Road. I will also submit these comments in writing to the ADA Executive Director with a request that they be passed along to each board member. I'd like to bring your attention to several very concerning things regarding this project. First of all, the justification that allowed for that resolution initially, that the state was providing funding to pursue an EIS, is no longer true. In the draft budget for fiscal year 2016, the allocation for the Ambler Mining District Road has been taken out. Further, there has been an administrative order 271 requesting more detailed budget information about the project and spending to date. ADA's response to this administrative order is incredibly concerning. It's full of numbers that are not supported by the project team's own documentation, nor by Nova Copper's preliminary economic assessment of the Arctic deposit. For example, the response to the administrative order cites that if the Arctic deposit were to come online as a mine, it would provide over 1,000 operations and supporting jobs. However, the Nova Copper preliminary economic assessment states that the operating and related jobs created by the mine would only be 142. That's an inflation of several hundred percent. Further, relating to road construction jobs, the administrative order response cites that there would be nearly 500 jobs created for road construction. However, the fact sheet that's available on the project website says that up to 300 jobs would be created for road construction. I think that these numbers need to be looked into, and the ADA project team needs to produce documentation supporting any claims that are made in that administrative order response. As was mentioned by people earlier, there's a resolution by Evansville Incorporated, one of the landowners along the proposed route, stating that they will not have a road for this purpose go across their land. The project team has consistently ignored this resolution, as well as other resolutions and opposition in the form of public testimony. It's irresponsible to submit a right-of-way application for a route where one of the private landowners has said no already. Also, concerns with public outreach and involvement. Recently in Fairbanks, we had a very significant meeting hosted by ADA. A lot of people came to the table. A lot of people spoke up. This was the second of these types of meetings that was held during an ADA board meeting. And at this last one in Fairbanks, several people voiced a concern that, on the one hand, the ADA board is not hearing what's happening at these large meetings and anybody attending the meeting is unable to call into the ADA board meeting. These are a few of my concerns. I know my time's almost up, so thank you very much for taking all of this into consideration.
Thank you. Questions from board members? Is anybody else in line wish to testify?
Joe Hardenbrook from the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you. Newly appointed as special assistant to Borough Mayor Luke Hopkins, who asked me to make a quick statement on his behalf in support of Resolution G1502. Mayor Hopkins remains committed to the purpose of the Interior Energy Project, which was to deliver energy to Fairbanks at the lowest cost possible, as soon as possible, to as many people as possible.
Edward Gooden, Jr., Native Village of Cobuk, council member.
Has joined the conference.
This is Joe Hardenbrook again. Mayor Hopkins asked me to call in and express his support for the resolution and encourage the board members to support it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe. Questions from the board? Anybody else online wishing to make a public comment, please? Anybody else online?
Yes, good morning. This is Edward Gooden, Jr. from the Native Village of Cobuk, the council members.
Good morning, Edward. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. How do we go about and seeing if we could get on to being on the board member for ADA, for the Native Village of Cobuk? Sorry, I just got in and I missed a few things, so.
Your question is, how do you become a board member of ADA? Is that?
Yes, that would, to represent Native Village of Cobuk.
You would have to talk to the administration of the governor.
Okay.
But is that your question for today, or do you have anything else to add?
I think I'll figure out something right in a little bit later, but give me some time to think about it.
Well, we're going to close the public comments here in a few minutes, so I'll check back with you before we do that. Anybody else online wishing to testify? Anybody else online? All right, no one online. Anybody in the in the board meeting?
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Colleen Sheldon, council member from Cobuk. The lady there was making a comment about some private owner that said no to the right-of-way easement that you guys had proposed. I mean, is there a reason why they never answered that? Private owner, land person that said no, that nobody will make a road to her private land. Is there a reason why nobody answered that person's private owner land's person saying no, that they cannot make a road that way?
Are you referring to ADA answering that question?
Yes.
If it's a question, please put it in writing to and address it to the ADA executive director so that they can properly respond to that for you, Colleen.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is, yeah.
Any other public comments online? All right, now we'll go into the boardroom. Anybody in the boardroom just to make any comments? In the boardroom. Edwin, I'm going to check with you one more time online before we close the public comment section of our board meeting. Do you have anything else further you'd like to say?
Yes, I got something to say about, is it true that Governor Bill Walker is putting the money on hold for this road project?
The question would have to be addressed to the governor's office, Edwin. We're taking public comments at this point. It's really not a question and answer period.
Okay.
If you do have questions, though, we would encourage you to, in writing, or text or email or something to Ada, so that we can respond properly back to you with the correct information.
Okay, I'll do that the next time.
All right. Thank you, Edmund.
Thank you. No further questions.
Okay. Well, I'm going to close the
This is Doug Isaacson.
Okay. Doug, go ahead.
Has joined the conference.
In favor of resolution G1502, authorizing the CESS funds expenditure for the Interior Energy Plan. And as staff knows, that the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation has been hosting meetings on Tuesday mornings. And part of the discussion is to come up with some solutions within the Interior. So we are definitely also looking at what we do next since the concession agreement has been terminated. But we want to see this continue forward. So as with other community member.
Has left the conference.
And that's my comments. Thanks.
All right, Doug. Well, we understand you're supporting resolution G1502. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions for Doug? Now I'm going to close the public comments. So up next on the agenda is new business. Ted?
Yes, Chair. Thank you. The first item of business is a loan resolution, 1501. And this is a resolution to allow Ada to participate in a $3,975,000 loan at 90%, which would be $3,415,500. And it's for long-term financing for the acquisition of a retail restaurant project in the Anchorage, Alaska area. And I would like to bring up Chris Anderson, our Division Director of Commercial Finance, to answer any questions that the board would have.
All right. Welcome, Chris.
He's left the conference.
Morning.
Has left the conference.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. This loan.
Gary Hanchett.
Has left the conference.
This loan participation request, it will be titled the Zayrun Living Trust, dated July 15th, 2010. That's how title will be held. Co-borrower. And the financial strength behind it is Edward and Terry Zayrung. As Ted mentioned, it is long-term financing for a combined retail restaurant project. It contains 15,400 square feet collectively amongst the improvements. There will be 30 jobs that will be retained, as well as 30 construction jobs that were created during the remodel of both GCI and the Crossbar Restaurant. Just to orient you, this is essentially the block of land of improvements at the northwest corner of C Street between Northern Life and Benson. So it's very well located to Midtown. Ed Zayrung, as the co-borrower, will also be managing the property through his real estate firm, EZ. Initials EZ, not EASY. LLC. He is an experienced owner, investor, and manager of commercial properties in Alaska, primarily in Anchorage. We would do a first deed of trust against the collateral, which is defined as lots 1, 2, and 3 of Blueberry Lake Subdivision. They've left the conference. We have had the property appraised. It appraised at $7.3 million, as is. And there is a fair amount of borrower equity in this transaction, so it's a 52% loan-to-value. With the net income, it equates to 1.51 to 1. Debt service coverage, which is definitely above our rule of thumb of 1.25. There is no related debt. There's no environmental issues that are known. We listed the strength as the loan-to-value, which is quite good, as well as the debt service coverage, and there is a good mix of leases on the property. Perceived weaknesses, there is always a market risk. And we're all aware of the potential downturn that could happen with lower oil prices, but I think you can say that across the board as a potential, and we feel that it's somewhat mitigated by
the
diversified nature of our economy up here now with government tourism and transportation. So far as the portfolio diversification, from September 30 numbers, statewide portfolio in the restaurant type was at 1.9%, and with this loan it would increase to 2.8%, and in regards to the Anchorage region, we're at 2.3%, and that would increase to 4.3%. We've also given a chart on the fiscal year 15 loan participation funding capacity. You can see by this chart that we have sufficient funds that are unencumbered for this loan participation request. And staff does recommend the approval of this loan participation under the condition that all leases are to be subordinate to the lender's deed of trust, and the repayment terms are to require accelerated amortization. And the loan amount is not to exceed the balance of the seller note, which we would be paying off, as well as FNBA's interim note, plus interest fees and costs. So it is recommended, and with that, I would open it up to any questions.
Thank you, Chris.
Welcome.
Is there any questions from the board? Hearing none, all right. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move resolution number L15-01.
Sir. Any motions before us?
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Ms. Nygaard.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Bittner.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Pruitt?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Corinne. Next up is Resolution G 15-01 Fury Operating Agreement. And I'll ask Russell to move it first and the table for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move Resolution Number G 15-01.
Have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Ken?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. This resolution, G-1501, would be authorizing a cost reimbursement agreement between ADA and FERI in order to allow ADA to do a pre-feasibility analysis on the project and to be reimbursed for those expenditures to do that pre-feasibility analysis, Chair. We have Jim Hemseth on the phone, and we do have the project manager, Matt Naris, here, and also a representative of FERI, Bruce Webb, to answer any questions the board would have on this reimbursement agreement and the potential project.
All right.
So would you want, Chair, for Matt to come forward?
Yes.
And then Jim is on the phone. And we also did provide one of our famous four squares on the project, the SWOT analysis that the board should have. So, Matt? And Jim, can you hear us?
I can't hear you, Ken. As being on this end, there's an amazing amount of noise on the phone, so I'm not sure if someone's still tied on and the phone's not on mute, but there's paper shuffling and babies crying on occasion. But I will persevere. The board memo and the resolution,
Edward Gooden Jr., Native Village of Cobuk, council member.
Has left the conference.
My apologies, someone left the conference. When they do that, they cut other people off. At any rate, 1501, as Ted mentioned, $100,000 for a pre-feasibility / feasibility analysis for this project to assure that it fits the needs of AS4488172. The specific activities that we envision occurring include a review and confirmation of the size of the field and estimated production, verification of engineering and construction work, review and verification of the business plan and other outside financing that's been arranged, creation of an appropriate finance plan to assure we've seen it per statute. We'll engage third-party consultants, subject matters, legal advisors, and the Department of Law for any preparation necessary for completion of financing plan documents. And this cost will be covered under the reimbursement agreement, which can either be rolled into the investment amount from ADEL and use investment loosely, or consider a transaction cost and pay back right away off the first revenues. This plan will also allow for transfer reimbursement of direct costs, including travel and communication for completion of ADEL's due diligence. So that's what we're trying to do. The project itself, just to work off of a quad sheet, is the development of the Kitchen Light field at Hook Inlet. This field is, we'll use the term Furious Company, but also Cornucopia, which is a little bit harder to say than Fury. LLC, as owners of the field, look to develop the natural gas. This particular phase one is for design and construction of production platform and pipeline to handle 100 million cubic feet of gas per day. It will be designed with the ability to be doubled to 200 million cubic feet a day if the market allows for that and the production is appropriate for that. Facilities include the installation of a monopod platform, which is constructed in a tunnel, 15-mile pipeline from the platform to the onshore facility. The onshore facility in the north of the Agrium Tesoro and ConocoPhillips LNG facility in Nikiski.
Has left the conference.
The request from Fury is for ADA's participation at $50 million as a preferred owner type limited equity stake. They requested that this not be processed as a project financing loan, as that interferes with some of their debt financing that's ongoing.
Jim,
that will also be investigated, and we'll understand that much better.
Jim, would you... Excuse me, Jim.
Would you
say that again about the $50 million?
The request was made for ADA to participate in this project, but the $250 million project, ADA's been asked to request the level of magnitude of $50 million in the production infrastructure.
As equity partner or as a loan?
As an equity or preferred limited equity partner.
All right.
The issue on the loan at first discussions tends to reduce the ability of not just Fury, but other companies we've been working with in terms of their debt financing.
Steve Johnson
has joined the conference.
But they need assistance in addition to their own equity with additional equity as appropriate. It's very, very similar to the fact that the same model as the Brooks Range production facility. Mission suitability and economic impact is noted both in the memo on the quad sheet, a variety of construction jobs, development drilling jobs over a 2 to 3 year period. 10 to 15 full-time operations jobs, and using the AOGA ratios, we anticipate additional 100 indirect jobs in the region, as well as property tax base from the Kenai Borough and State of Alaska production taxes and royalties. The lower right hand in the quad, we talked a little bit about the risks and where we see them and what the mitigations would be right now. There are a number of term sheets have been developed in initial discussions that Fury has taken place in with local utilities for gas sales contracts. Those gas sales contracts come online with a small amount in 2016.
Has joined the conference.
Well, the mitigation aspect were obviously part of any precondition and precedent, and going forward to be on current contracts, term sheets, things like that. So I have a much, we will, in fact, if we proceed with this, anchor the sales aspect of this job so we can.
This is Bernie Smith with the RCA.
Has joined the conference.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the breaks. People are joining the phone.
We know, Jim.
Yeah, when that happened.
Yeah.
Get ready to put tequila in the Diet Coke.
This is Bernie Smith with the RCA.
Has left the conference.
Okay, someone's left the conference now. The aspect on construction and facilities, a very large portion of this equipment has been procured and fabricated and standing up. The majority of the funds that will be used from ADA are for the actual construction and installation of the facilities. So as we proceed during our due diligence, we believe we're going to get a very good handle on the cost and delivery of items. I believe I did fail to mention this. The schedule for this project.
Dina, Sam?
Has left the conference.
Funding through this summer with, and construction this summer with operation beginning in the third quarter of 2015. Initial operations beginning in 2015. Again, some of the risks, field production, well, that's part of the aspect of understanding and getting a third-party review of the aspect of the field itself, as well as looking at whatever analogies exist in post-inlet that give us appropriate comfort level for production. It's a straightforward facility is what we know now, but that will be reviewed in terms of what's being done. This is gas processing. At this time, there is no oil processing involved. And related to construction cost increase as a risk. So as I mentioned, construction costs will be very, very finalized by the time we're done with the due diligence, and the majority of this has in fact been procured. So we'll have a very firm construction cost estimate. The only other aspect that's out there would be the price of gas itself. And that's going to be tied to the gas contracts. Understanding what the gas contracts are, the terms of the contracts and the sales contract will also define what our ranges are in terms of revenue.
Has joined the conference.
With the gas contracts in place, we'll have certainty related to revenue generation. And that's kind of the nuts and bolts of why we see this project as a good avenue. It provides a lot of utility interest in Cook Inlet. It is a known field with drilling results. We'll be reviewing the production of the drilling results and the field aspects. We will know the construction costs. This is a good way to, again, bring additional gas into Cook Inlet, especially on those contracts that all expire in 2018 and for other opportunities going forward. Staff recommends that the board approves, resolution G1501 that allow us to go into details that we need to ensure that this is an appropriate project with appropriate economics for ADA.
Thank you, Jim.
Now, big questions. Yes, sir.
Any questions from the board, Jim? Gary?
Thank you. I have two, Jim. Page 3, 4. Under economic impact and emission suitability. You touched on it right at the end, but talk a little bit about bullet number 1. Project provides natural gas to sustain electric and heating utilities. Are there any existing contracts that are tied to this development? Or
just joined the conference.
Is this something that is being done in expectation of build it and they will come? and perhaps somebody here in the room can speak to that. I have a second question?
Bruce might be able to, but if I understand the question, Gary, I think that was you, and we did have a joining that kind of blocked a little bit about it. You're worried about, is this a bill that they will come? And that's the aspect of the gas contracts. That will be a key part of our condition. Right now, Fury has made to us on a confidential basis what their terms are and where they see the gas contracts, ones that they expect to be able to execute shortly, the ones that are currently in discussion that define both cost and length of term. Without revealing any confidential information, the terms, the corporations that they are, utilities that they're talking to have gotten to certain preliminary terms. The total gas volume is in the 80 to 85 million cubic feet a day range, which is the notional production capacity of the field, operating capacity of 80 million feet a day, with the facility capacity of 100 million cubic feet a day. So at this point, if these contracts are executed and over the next few months become firm, there will be sales contracts for the production of the gas prior to the final construction of the facility.
So will ADA be in for the $50 million prior to those contracts being negotiated or after?
If I was going to suggest where we are in the future, these contracts will be a condition precedent, at least some capacity of those contracts be a condition precedent prior to ADA funding.
Okay, thank you. My second question is this the drill rig that ran afoul of the Jones Act? And if the answer is yes, is that an issue that lingers, or has that been taken care of? What is the status of that issue if this is the unit?
Well, I'm going to answer, and then I'm going to, if Bruce feels comfortable talking, the Spartan 151 is, in fact, the drill rig that was brought up with the conflict of the Jones Act. Those issues have been resolved. That rig has already been drilling last year and will continue to drill and will also most likely be used, not guaranteed, but most likely be used to help develop the Cosmopolitan field. The monopod, as you're sitting in Seattle, had come up and was unable to be installed last season, taken back to Seattle. That is under no Jones Act restriction. So the Jones Act issues with the 151 have been resolved, and that rig has been operating for the last 2 years in Cook Inlet.
So in regard to resolution G1502, the Jones Act issue with this drill rig has no bearing?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from board members? Do you wish to add anything?
I think Chairman Smanders from ADA. I'll let Jim summarize project on the resolution. Well, I thought.
All right. Thank you. No further questions? I'll ask Kryn to pull the board.
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Ms. Nygaard.
Aye.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Bittner.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Cruz.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Next on the agenda is the Interior Energy Project update.
Well, thank you very much, Board. If there's anything later in the meeting you need me, Matt can text me, and I'll go back to being a learning student again.
Thank you, Jeff. Ted, we've got a report to the board here. Is this what we're going to do? Is this what we're going to go through?
Yes, Chair.
He's left the conference.
Actually, in the IEP update, we would like to have Mark Davis and Gene Terrio come up to give an update of where we're at in the process, and then also give an update on the process we believe that will be utilized to move forward in looking at different alternatives for the IEP project and how to get gas to Interior Alaska.
All right. Does board members please have a copy of this?
You should have gotten, I do not know. Chair, let me have it. Right.
Oh, yeah. It was on our page. Mm-hmm. But Wilson's on our
page. Wilson's.
Chair, email
anything,
Chair. Okay. Email it. Here, I need it here. I'll take care of it.
Just tell me to substitute that one.
Wilson, are you there?
Yes.
Did you get via email the report on the IEP? And it's titled Report to Ada Board Termination of IEP Concession Agreement Go Forward Requirements. Did you get that via email?
No, that would have come out today or yesterday.
When did that come out? We just got it this morning.
No, unless Sherry had it in the package.
No, it wasn't in our original package.
Sure. No, I do not have it.
I'll text Jerry to find out if she emailed it.
All right. It may have been emailed last night, Wilson. Well, if not, we'll confirm it and send it again for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Ted.
Yes, Chair. Again, we have Mark Davis here to give an update on the project, and again, Gene Terrios. So I would ask them to give the project update, and we'll be able to answer any questions that the board may have.
Just a moment. Sherry? Go ahead, Mark and Gene. Thank you.
Sure. Members of the board, so right for members, Mark Davis. So basically, we want to just go over progress to date and what we've done. As you know, last January, the board sanctioned the idea of working with MWH as a public-private partner to work on the IP in conjunction with the SB 23 funding. It was designed to be a so-called P3 because the funding available in SB 23 was not sufficient for the total cost of the projected project. At that time, we thought we would do what is called the Joint Development Agreement, or a JDA, and essentially ADA would be essentially a finance arm into the project. The proponent, which would be an LLC, partly owned by MWA, partly owned by an investor, would then design, build, and operate the project, and ADA's involvement would be a lender. As we went through the project, one of the issues for the financial structure was the possibility of an alternative source of gas reaching Fairbank, primarily from a pipeline, but it could also be from other areas of the state or importation. And so that creates financial risk. And the possibility was that a pipeline, for example, could well be built within the useful life of the plant, which would be about 30 years. And so the investor agreed to take that alternative gas supply risk in terms of taking the security in the plant that would be built. But they also asked for the possibility of forgiveness of any lending that was part of the JDA structure. Then they informed us that forgiving the said loan would create a potential tax liability for the investor, and they suggested going to a concession agreement. So that meant that the said loan mechanism would remain in place, but under a concession agreement, ADA would own the project. It would not operate it, but it would own the project. At the end of 30 years, when the loans ended, the concession agreement ended, it would revolve back to ADA. But other aspects of the concession agreement also created additional risk to ADA as a potential owner, and also it affected the dynamics of the, in my opinion, of the negotiations. Under the concession agreement, what happened was the LLC that was set up by MWH and ADA agreed to a series of conditions precedent that had to be met for financial close. For example, they agreed to a target delivery price for the gas. They agreed to an an engineering procurement construction, or EPC, price for the gas. Again, under the joint development agreement, it would be more like ADA would issue a commitment letter saying, we will commit to this loan if the following terms are met. If you meet them, great. If you don't, you don't. We're not really involved in setting all these negotiating positions. We set them as a lender. So essentially, we got more into a negotiation phase. And then we, and NWH, during that process, chose a company to be the EPC. It started out as a traditional EPC and shifted to what's called an open book process. That is where they would tell us exactly what it costs to build the plant and design through the feed engineering. ADA went down and observed that process to its representatives from what was called MEI, which was a consultant in the interim. MEI has been purchased by HGR, who is also an engineering consultant, so it's really now all HGR. The first indicative price was very high. It was not tenable. Second effort proved a more refined and more definite price, but it was still on the upper edge of what might be feasible under the model. And under the concession agreement structure, it's important to note that ADA had no direct control over the price, nor as a lender could it set the terms of the financing. So we were going through that process, and eventually, as you know, the board members were here on December 16th, there was a acknowledgement that we weren't coming to terms on the project. So essentially, our conclusion, now that we've terminated the concession agreement, is that ADA works best as a finance development agency. It is prepared to invest in partnership with private proponents that make use of private capital. You just heard that proposal with Fury. That's the kind of thing that we do. The IP was designed to benefit the interior by providing a product to the interior utilities, so actually the product was the gas delivered. We think the focus going forward needs to be on the product that's going to be delivered. Instead, the concession agreement focused on a complex relationship between ADA and MWH, or Northleaf, that didn't really have complete buy-in from the potential customers, and that proved to be a problem. We also note, though, that another thing happened during the progress of this project was that the utilities have also always faced demand risk. That is, how many people will convert, and that's usually in the Cardinal report we proposed was a matter of the cost of fuel oil versus the cost of gas, and that was identified with the sensitivity analysis. Toward the end of this process, the price of fuel oil has been dropping. It's now, last time I checked in Fairbanks, below $3. It was put into the model at $4 during most of this process, where it was. In fact, it was once higher than $4. And so that means that the demand risk for conversion escalated very much to the utilities. Which creates an issue that has to be addressed going forward. But it also means that risk shifting utilities, in my view, made the concession agreement structure less viable and inordinately shipped the risk to the utilities. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Gene Terrio for AEA. AEA has been working as a partner with ADA on this project, primarily focused on the distribution work. Originally on behalf of IGU, that was AEA personnel, Kurt Warren, that helped do the design of the potential build-out pipes to deliver to residents to come up with the estimated number of miles, the estimated cost of that system, and work with IGU on how it could be broken into phases to be built out over time. AEA also is involved along with ADA personnel on the demand work that was done, demand surveys that were done, also utilizing information that was supplied by IGU to estimate the sensitivity of the consumers to price. So that if we could deliver at a certain price that would result in a yearly savings of a certain amount, what would that amount need to be to actually attract them to convert their individual residences? And that individual residence switching from fuel oil to natural gas, the conversion cost could be anywhere from a couple of $1,000 if you had a boiler that lent itself to converting the burner to a complete swap out of the system, which could be $10,000 to $11,000. And so utilizing some information that was done by IGU, that was gathered through a telephone survey, and then actually going up and doing focus groups with consumers who were encouraged to bring their previous year's total fuel bill, so they were answering questions, not trying to remember what the cost of heating their home was, but with actual knowledge, went through a process, again, to try and figure out and be able to graph exactly how the consumers would react with different prices delivered to their residences. We've also been involved ADA and just dealing with primarily with FNG and IGU on the loans that have been provided and financed that has been provided, just looking at their plans on developing them, Kirk using his experience, past experience, working with NSTAR on whether the proposed plans were reasonable, the expenditures were reasonable, things of that nature. So as Mark indicated, as we've come through this past year working with
MWH
under the consent decree, we thought, you know, things were advancing. We knew the price dynamics of developing up on the North Slope were a challenge, and ultimately appeared like it would deliver a price that when local distribution was added on would in fact add some risk to the number of customers that would potentially convert, and therefore add risk to the utilities as far as demand growth going forward. At this point, since there has been a bit of a pause put on this project with the new administration coming in and them wanting to get up to speed and look at where things stand right now, it does offer us an opportunity to sort of hit the refresh button and take a fresh look at ideas for supplying the community's needs. We know that the IGU group in particular, in conjunction with FEDCO in the community, has been going through a process, a stakeholders process, where they've actually invited people to, you know, put the ideas back on the table, suggested going through a quick vetting process to see if things have changed on any of those potential supplies that would materially suggest that we should change our focus. And so in interacting in those meetings, Kirk and Nick Simoniak have put together a sort of a suggestion, a project charter document here that we could use to interact with the three utilities who are in fact going to be the customers for the plant, to go again through that process rather quickly to see if things have changed in a material way that would cause us to shift the focus. There are, you know, a number of things that have transpired over this year. We have a much better understanding of, if you were to source the product off the North Slope and deliver it in the community, what's the cost of doing that? We have much better information on that now.
Has joined the conference.
We also have continued to monitor and know that things have been changing in Cook Inlet. Back when this plan, the IEP plan, was first put forth and advocated down in Juneau, we had just come off a year of headlines of possible need for importation of gas in Cook Inlet. And utilizing incentives, the picture has changed somewhat, although it's not a return to the, you know, certainly the 60s and 70s where Cook Inlet was just awash in gas and had a very, very long-term source. But now we know that there is a greater source. There is still some uncertainty on supply, and there is some uncertainty on price. And I think a little over a year ago, the board had an update from DNR on their view of the potential of Cook Inlet to supply. And I think Mr. Swenson, who presented to the board at that time, indicated that there would always be a little bit of a degree of risk of deliverability, and then what would the price be? The other thing that has changed over the course of this past year, from my view at the local level, is the three customers for the plant, three utilities, in working with MWH, have formed a bit of an alliance through their negotiations with MWH. That doesn't mean that their different way of sort of viewing the world has changed, but they've had a lot of discussions about how they work together to aggregate their demand, how they could share supply, how they could help each other if there was an interruption in supply. And so that, I think, is something that has developed that is also beneficial to sort of take stock of at this point. So I think what we're proposing at this point is to work with the three utilities real closely and other stakeholders and the local community and run them through that process of sort of looking at the different concepts again. We don't think it will take very long, that a lot of them will really fall off the table and really will allow us to refocus on what our true potential supplies for the interior energy space heat needs in particular, but also looking at what energy could be supplied that could also be used for generation of electricity. And we also keep in mind that the IEP was, although that was anchored by the demand in Fairbanks, it really was supposed to be a project for a larger geographic area. And so the price that we can deliver for the core of Fairbanks, we always keep our eye on how those economics then will play to deliver the product further down the road to smaller communities. So that's also something that we'll keep in mind. So the documents that we bring for your consideration today are this possible charter document. There's a budget, a suggested budget that goes along with it. And then there was also a grid that was the last of the documents. There's actually the document that Steve Hagenson with IGU has developed in his conversations with the Energy Working Group weekly meetings at FEDCO. And if you've got that document, it's just a single page. Across the top, it's just got different potential sources and then sort of a matrix down the side on how we would evaluate those sources. So with that, I'm available to answer questions. Kirk here is here to answer technical questions on his view of how to proceed through this document or technical questions about the system. And unfortunately, Mr. Simoniak was not able to be at the meeting today.
Thank you, Gene. So, questions from the board? Gary?
Before we look ahead to this charter document, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know this thing that we got last night and this morning. Report to the ADA Board, termination of the IEP concession agreement. I'd like to know the purpose of that piece. And if this is intended to be the summary of 10 months of work, then we really need to have a discussion. And I don't know if you want to do that now or some other time. If this is meant to just be a Wednesday morning point in time that has no longevity in this project, then okay, we'll just move on. This is so... Well, I have great reservations about this three-page document, and we can talk about them now or we can talk about them later. We don't have to talk about them at all, but I would just say this should not be part of the IEP summary. And I'll follow your lead, Mr. Chairman, on how you want to proceed. But I don't want this document in its form to live.
I think the document's intent was, Gary, was to do a bullet point highlight based on staff's conception of what transpired, what they thought was positive, what they thought was negative, how it got to where it was at. It's not designed to analyze or be critical of certain aspects of it for more informational purpose. Then be corrected.
Oh no, Chair. Again, that is correct, and that we are working on a complete analysis of the IEP project of what happened, and that is not completed
yet,
so it will be produced for the board.
And, Mr. Chair, could I ask then that there be a purpose statement at the head of this, there be a date on it, and that it be marked as a working draft?
I can do that.
And with your permission.
And, for Cleveland.
And if...
has joined the conference.
I'd like to, we don't need to do it today, but if you'd like, I will put down my comments about where I think this thing is.
That's
not complete, and just this is almost editorial in its content. So, if that's the way you'd like to proceed, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Right.
And I would think that the rest of the board might want to do the same thing. So,
appreciate that, Gary.
Thank you.
Does that have a question? Mark, Jim, thank you very much. Good update. Next up is resolution G15-02, evaluate alternatives to the North Coast Energy Concession Agreement. I will look for Russell or someone for the moment.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move resolution number G15-02.
I'll second.
Thank you. Before us, Ted?
Yes, Chair. This resolution, G15-2, is to allow ADA to budget funds to move forward with reviewing the potential alternatives for this project other than constructing a North Slope plant with a concession agreement. We're requesting $700,000 to be budgeted to move forward with that. The source of funds for this would be out of our original sustainable energy transmission and supply funds, $500,000, which can be used under the statute to look at qualified energy projects. We have also requested $200,000 to be used out of our economic development account, and that would be to cover a salary cost and also would be allowed to look at alternatives that would not be allowed under the SETS fund as defined as a qualified energy project. For example, under the SETS funds, you cannot utilize funds to construct a pipeline from Cook Inlet to Fairbanks or Interior Alaska. So we would need to utilize funds outside of the SETS funds to evaluate that alternative.
All right.
Also sent to the board was a backup budget of how the funds would be expended, and Jane and Kirk are here to answer any questions on the budget or the resolution.
Thank you. Questions? Board members?
One question. What's the timeline on this budget? You know, we've got how much you're going to spend, but when are you going to spend it? When are we going to have a completion? What is...
There's some uncertainty, but I think Kirk...
this is based off of a two-month effort.
A two-month effort. But within these, you'll look at the one page that has a little bit of a breakdown. You can see we've got some categories here. Say the contractual RSA you see there, it's slated there for $150,000. If we're not sure at this point whether we will have to enter into an RSA with UNR or the Department of Law, DNR would perhaps help us with, if we are trying to evaluate or suggested as the matrix shows to look at possible supply from the South. Will we need to transfer money over to them to get expertise on reserve risks and price information? There may be some legal work that goes in with that. So we've budgeted money. Those departments may be able to provide that expertise without us actually RSAing money over. We've also got some money here for consultants. We've got a lot of information on plant costs and trucking from the north. If we have to do any detailed information on plant cost expansions, things of that nature, that we would have to hire consultants, you can see there's a block for that. We're uncertain whether particular projects will easily be moved to the sidelines or whether they will need more detailed information, engineering information, for the board to consider to make a reasoned decision. But I think the view here was hopefully we would be able to be through this process, and I know it's IGU's desire to be through the process in a relatively short period of time. 2 months at most.
Any other questions?
So,
Eric?
So, Gene, one of our projects here in the next month or so is to come up with the things we need with SB 23 to allow us to sort of broaden our scope and all that. So, does that drive us? Does this drive us? Help us get that done?
I think it will focus us back on a project or a couple of projects maybe that are competing. We will know then whether, in fact, we need to get a change in the SB 23 financing numbers.
Thank you. Can I ask a question about the resolution? So could we look at page 2 under section 2? And you know, I read that, and I'm just thinking out loud here. It says the authority may use the services of professional advisors selected by the executive director. Would it be proper to put in...
just joined the conference.
Put in executive director or his or her designee. And I guess I'm thinking is that as this thing kind of broadens out here, this thing may be getting big enough to where there's a person that is in charge of this period in this whole agency, not the executive director. Ted may say, we're going to have somebody else do it and be that person. So that technically would limit us from having that happen. But if we insert it, or his or her nominee, designee, I would propose that when it comes time for this discussion to insert that if you think it's a good idea. If we don't need it, then leave it alone.
I would suggest you don't need it, Gary, because the executive director can always designate his duties under the existing ADA bylaws. And
okay.
So I think it's just repeating yourself.
All right. Thanks, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Members of the board, my name is Fred Perry. I'm acting commissioner of commerce. John Bittner holds the designation to this board, and so he's the voting member here at the table today. But I was at an AGDC meeting last week where they released the ASAP study at a burner tip price for Fairbanks of $11.50 to $14. And my curiosity is simply how that information in terms of timeline and digesting what that means dovetails with this effort.
Well, I think the first answer is that the ISD project coming from the North Slope was always intended to be a short-term solution.
A bridge.
A bridge. I think as we go, if you correct me if I'm wrong, we go and look at other alternatives. I don't see that changing.
We still believe that this is a bridge, that even if that project were to go forward, this project could actually come online and allow the distribution
faster
system to build out so that the pipeline has a larger customer base from day one, and that would be an economic advantage. I can let the board know that we had a meeting with AGDC on their project just a day or two ago. We periodically have updates with them so that we are apprised of where they are with their project and how it potentially dovetails with us, and they're apprised of ours. We did have some questions about some of the components of their ultimate delivered price, but we still think that the two projects still work together.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions before I call roll call on the roll call? Corinne?
Sure. Mr. Wilkin?
Aye.
Ms. Nygaard?
No.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Bittner?
Yes.
Mr. Dick?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. All right. Next up is executive session. So, entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board enter an executive session to discuss confidential financial information, negotiations related to the Interior Energy Project, and to discuss confidential personnel matters.
Second? Second. We are going to executive session. Does Wilson have the phone number?
Yes, he's been given that phone number for the executive session.
All right.
Got it.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, rest in call.